You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We're here for you Monday through Friday to talk Celtics with you. We're the Raining Jays, John Corrales, Jay King, joining me from Denver, Colorado, where the Celtics are preparing to play the Nuggets in a tough test. We'll talk about, the Pacers game, and there are questions about the shot selection. People are starting to talk about whether they take too many threes. I guess Bill Simmons said something about Jason Tatum, so we'll talk about Jason Tatum. And, you know, Kyrie had some things to say. We'll talk about all of that after I welcome all of our new listeners. I want to say thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for sampling us. Thank you for just making us part of your Celtics life. We really appreciate that.
I would like to bash our new listeners for a second. What took you idiots so long? No, I love you all. I'm kidding.
So let's get into the Pacers game, Jay. I thought the Celtics were going to win this game. I know the Pacers are okay. They're a good team. I just felt like the Celtics could have won this game by 10 pretty easily. And there are a lot of questions about their shot selection, which we'll talk about. My biggest concern was I thought they played pretty crappy defense. I think they were very sloppy defensively in the second half. I saw a lot of players I saw two guys going to try to close out sometimes. I saw a lot of overreactions. I saw a lot of sloppiness in general, and that let the Pacers kind of get back into this. If the Celtics had played their normal defensive game, I think they could have won this thing going away. I don't know what do you think? It was the offense or the defense that was the biggest problem?
I think part of it was the defense. They weren't their normal lockdown selves. But when you look at the offense, like Brad Stevens said, it's not the threes that's the issue. Like, they took 46 threes. They took 55 the game before. They've shot better than 40% from three both of those games. Like, they're getting wide open three-point shots. They're getting every three-point shot that they want. That's a great development. That's what they should be looking for. The problem is, when they're inside the arc, it's either it's normally mid-range, like half of their shots inside the arc are mid-range jumpers and the other half are at the rim. I think they only had 12 shots at the rim against Milwaukee, which is abominably low. They only had 22 shots at the rim against Indiana, which is low again, and only 9 free throw attempts against Indiana. They're not getting those easy points, the layups, the free throw attempts that you'd want. And I think part of it is that some, like Kyrie, you can see his free throw attempts are down. He's never been a huge free throw attempt guy, but even so, his free throw attempts are down. Jason Tatum hasn't been getting to the rim. He's been settling for a lot of mid-rangers. We're going to talk about him a little later. They haven't been able, and Gordon Hayward, he's not right yet. So he's normally a guy who can rack up some free throw attempts. He hasn't done that yet either. So right now, it's like three-point attempt or kind of like an ambitious mid-range jump shot a lot, and that's not going to cut it. The three-pointers are great. Like, they're getting wide open three-pointers. You can see how dangerous their offense could be when they get wide open all the time. But it's everything else. It's the paint scores and the free throw attempts that's I think more of a pressing issue for them right now.
I completely agree. I'm kind of basing this off like Gary Washburn in the Sunday Globe raised the question, are the Celtics shooting too many threes? The numbers are big and people, it's very easy.
But it's great. You want to shoot that many threes. Like, that's awesome to shoot that many threes. Right. But when you're not getting threes, you have to get layups and free throws. And that's just what they haven't done.
That's exactly my point. That the threes, I can only look at maybe a handful of the threes that they've taken and say, okay, that was forced. And some of them had to be. So, but I'd say most of the threes were good shots. And that's fine. That's today's NBA. Now, I dove into the stats a little bit on RedsArmy.com Sunday morning. The numbers, I think, just they tell the story. Celtics, third worst in the league in points off of drives. So only 17 points a game off of drives. So they're not driving. They're second worst in paint touch points. So when the ball touches the paint, they're only scoring 14 points a game. That's second worst in the league. And they only get 19 paint touches per game. That's the third fewest. And so they are fifth in attempts from 15 to 19 feet, fifth in attempts from 20 to 24 feet. So they're taking a ton of shots from 15 to 24 feet, and they're not taking many shots at all. They're not getting into the paint at all. So those are the numbers right there that tell me where the Celtics are having their problems offensively. Maybe you can say there are a few three-pointers that they maybe should give up and drive. Okay. Fine, I'll give you that. But most of those threes, like almost all of them, I think, are pretty decent shots. And in today's NBA, the shots that you want, they are definitely not getting to the rim. They're definitely not getting to the line. And that is a huge, huge problem. They need to attack and they need to trust. I think one thing, and I haven't been around long enough to kind of talk to everybody and kind of get a sense of this. I don't know if you have a sense of it, Jay. Maybe not. I don't know that right now these guys are fully trusting that when they give the ball up that they're going to get it back. And if you don't think that you're going to get the ball back, then you're just much more likely to go off and take the first good shot that comes to you. And you just think, because the Celtics have a lot of good offensive players, a lot of those shots, you're like, I can make the shot. I can make a 20-footer. The 20-footer is nothing to me. But unless they trust that when they give up that shot right there, that the ball will work around, that the ball will find the other side of the floor, that the ball will find the paint, and eventually if the ball works its way around, that you can get an even better shot than the shot that you gave up, once that happens, then their offense can really be clicking. But until they trust that they can get the ball back and get a better shot, then I think their offense is going to be what we see.
I think that trust is starting to come around. I think more so the issue to me is they have a lot of guys who have always settled for mid-range jumpers. You know, Kyrie, that's
sure.
That's sort of been his thing for his career, and he's trying to get out of that, but it's been his thing. Terry Rozier, he's a guy who's settled for some mid-range jumpers. If you look at his two-point percentage for his career, it's sub 40%, I think. Jason Tatum, he's a guy who last year cut down on the mid-range attempts, but when he's been aggressive, when he's kind of considered himself the man, he's always been a mid-range guy, and he's kind of gone back to some of that this season, I think. The only one who doesn't really go to that is Al Horford, but Gordon Hayward, we've seen some drives, I think, that he might go all the way to the cups. Now he's pulling up for two-pointers instead of getting to the rim and playing through contact. I think part of that is probably because of the injury. But a lot of these guys, like the only one who's not is Marcus Morris, which is hysterical because mid-range Mook has always been the guy.
Right.
But he's like setting the example for them right now. He's like Mr. Three and go to the hoop and drive and dish. Everyone needs to follow Marcus Morris's example, which I never thought I would say before this
insane?
Season. Yeah. And also, I think some of it is just guys trying to make it work. Like Kyrie, we've seen him really try to make this work. And sometimes you just have to put your head down. I think Brad Stevens said it after the Milwaukee game. He's like, those guys just put their head down and get free throw attempts. And the Celtics don't really have guys right now who do that. And to an extent, that's good. You want to be making smart decisions all the time. But they also don't really have that big free throw attempt guy. And you look at – when you look at the difference between Kyrie and some of the other number one options around, like the best number one options around the league, whether it's LeBron or James Harden or Kevin Durant, even Stephen Curry, like those guys get more free throw attempts than Kyrie. And that's the one area where he's really lagging behind everybody else in. And so part of it is just they don't have that one guy who's just going to like force contact and get to the line no matter how you defend him. And part of it, I think, is they are still trying to figure things out. And it's weird because you'd think, like, if you're shooting 50 threes a game, as you have the last couple of games, you'd think that would open up the paint and leave lanes for guys to drive. And that just hasn't really been the case so far. So they have to figure out ways to get actions going to the paint and get guys layups and free throws. Those are the two glaring areas where their offense has fallen short this season.
I completely agree. Just so we can give the illustration of your point, James Harden free throw attempts over the past four seasons, over 10 a game. And if you go back another couple, so five of the last six seasons, over 10 a game, and that one, the other one was nine per game. Kyrie Irving, by contrast, has been about past two seasons, about four per game. So he's averaging about four per game for his career free throw attempts. This season, he's averaging 2.8 free throw attempts for Kyrie Irving. Now, part of that, I think, is because Kyrie is just shifty and he can get to the rim without getting touched because he's just like the Matrix. But at the same time, he should be getting some contact, and he should be getting easy points at the rim. Like, he's averaging 18 points a game. He could easily be averaging 25 if he got to the rim with the same regularity as some of the stars, like you were saying. So that's obviously a big problem. The Celtics have to address that, and until they address that, they won't. Their offense is still going to suck. They've got one of the worst.
I don't think it's going to suck. Like, we'd be talking about this differently if they hung, I think it was 113 points per 100 possessions against Milwaukee. And then even though, like, they missed everything in the first quarter against Indiana, they still hit, what was it, 19 threes? So if they'd hit even a portion of their open shots early, we might be having a different discussion right now. But it's still free throws and layups, free throws right. and layups, free throws and layups.
It's the three-pointers,
they're starting to get great three-pointers. Like, that's the most obvious improvement over the first nine games, is that finally they're getting the clean three-point attempts they want. But just got to get more going to the hoop. And until they do it, you're going to suffer through droughts because sometimes you're going to miss threes. It's just how it kind of goes. Even the best three-point shooting teams miss threes sometimes. It's the free throws and the layups that are more dependable.
That's it. That's where the offense stands right now. If you want to address this, if you're a new listener, if you're new to the podcast, somehow you want to talk to us directly, find Jay on Twitter at @ByJayKing. Find me on Twitter at @RedsArmy_John. Also, find the Locked On Podcast Network on your social feeds. They're doing unprecedented things on Twitter and Instagram. So follow Locked On NBA Net on Twitter and Instagram. So on Twitter, you get all of the Locked On Podcast Network local hosts covering the NBA. They're every team in one feed during games. It's just wild. You get to see everything that's happening. It's almost like you're watching all the games at the same time. There's breaking news and local perspective. On Instagram, Locked On NBA Net is giving you the biggest stories in just 1 minute on your Instagram stories, longer cuts on the biggest stories in the feeds. It's really cool when we do a podcast and there's something to talk about with the Celtics. They'll do like a little 20-second clip of one of us talking, and they'll put it up there if you want to see what other teams are saying. They do little clips so you can kind of get samples on all of the other podcasts. So follow at Locked On NBA Net on Instagram and Twitter. So I guess Bill Simmons, and I didn't hear it, but everybody seems to be talking about Bill Simmons says some stuff about Jason Tatum and apparently like cooling on Jason Tatum. So fine, whatever. I didn't hear it. I'm not going to comment on what he said necessarily, but because that topic has been brought up, Jay, we can look at Jason Tatum's statistics and look at his offense isn't quite where it was last year. Now, last year he was shooting 43% from three, which is ridiculous. This year he's shooting 36% from three, which is still good. just not as good as he was shooting it last year, but he's also shooting a little bit more from three. Offensively, the numbers, his true shooting is down. His overall field goal percentage is down. He's shooting 41%. His just overall offensively, I think he's kind of off to a slow start. So let me ask you this question. Is that, do you think something that's a regression of some point or some sort, or do you think that this is part of the Celtics figuring out the offense and Tatum is kind of caught up in that?
I think it's the latter. I think a lot of his shots are different this year than they were last year. Like last year, he was a spot up guy. And especially early on when Kyrie was healthy, he was a spot up guy and he was playing off other guys and he was mostly like an option on the weak side. Now he's having, or he is creating for himself a lot. And so the opportunities he's had have just been different. And I think his problems right now are that he's trying to expand his game, but he's not doing it in all the most intelligent ways or all the most efficient ways. So instead of getting more going to the hoop and getting more like drives of closeouts or, you know, shooting more open threes, he's kind of trying to create in the mid range and create in other ways. And it's kind of had him backwards a little bit, I think. And I don't think it's a long-term issue. I think it's just right now he's struggling with like how, because he's better now and he's more confident after what he did in the playoffs. But now he has to kind of figure out like, okay, how do I use this confidence? How do I use this expanded skill? How do I use getting better to my team's advantage instead of just like kind of getting jiggy with it in the mid range? So I think there's just kind of a, was that you laughing at my
getting jiggy with it? Yes, I absolutely was going to call
totally
you out on getting
Will
jiggy
Smith
with it.
Reference.
Of course, well, I was.
Yeah, but I mean, is there a better term than just Jason Tatum getting jiggy with it in the mid range?
Probably a lot of better terms, but that's okay.
Fair. Just fair.
Let's keep on. Let's power forward. Let's power through this.
Yeah, but it's just like he has to figure out how to use his powers for good. And that's the issue right now, is that sometimes he's using his powers in ways that just don't necessarily equate to good, efficient basketball.
He just
needs to keep adapting and evolving until he realizes like, okay, this is how I use what I worked on this summer to get to the hoop and get free throw attempts and get other people involved and get layups and three pointers instead of like, ooh, let me get jiggy with it.
Oh man. Okay.
So I had to double down after you came at me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wouldn't expect anything less. So here's the number, granted small sample size, but this is the number I think that indicates exactly what you're talking about. His assisted field goals this year so far, 25 assisted, 24 unassisted. Compare that to last year where 262 assisted, 135 unassisted. So he had twice as many assisted field goals, which means what you said, spot up, catch and shoot, getting to the basket, whatever. But he was set up for 262 shots, makes last year versus 135 that he created for himself without an assist. This year it's an even split. So if you want any single number, if you want to drill it down to one single number, the number of assisted versus unassisted shots is where we're going to start with Jason Tatum. And I agree.
Or you can go with last year, 32% of his shots came within 0 to 3 feet of the rim. This year, it's just about half that. His shots from the mid-range have expanded in every way. So he's just not...
It's that Mamba mentality, Jay. It's that Mamba mentality.
Kobe ruined him.
Kobe Bryant. Now, Kobe Bryant took this wide-eyed kid who was his hero, and Kobe, because he's an evil son of a bitch, he said, oh, I'm going to screw these Celtics. Watch what I do to their superstar, young buck. And he ruined him. That's what happened here.
Yeah, we don't actually believe that, listeners. At least I don't. I don't know if John does.
I don't actually believe it. But damn it, it's so hard to like people joke about it, and I joke about it. But like you're like, oh man, maybe there is a little something to it because he is taking a lot more of those mid-range.
But that's always been his game. So last year was kind of the first time in his life he hasn't been like the guy. And this year he's trying to go back to the guy, and he's reverting to his old habits.
Yeah, no, look.
And so it's not great, but I think it's just something he has to work through and kind of realize like, okay, this isn't the way. And I think he's done better the last few games. And some of that is like he's not being featured as much. I think they're running more through Kyrie and Hayward and Horford and other guys. But some of it is just I think he's kind of starting to figure out like, okay, this is how I need to play and this is what I need to do. But they do need him. Like, he needs to be one of the guys who gets free throw attempts. He can't be getting what's his free throw rate right now is worse than it was last year. He's creating 4.2 free throw attempts per 36 minutes, which is fine, but like, he could be a guy who gets to the free throw line a lot. And so they just need more out of him right now.
Yep, that's absolutely true. Like, again, I joke. And it's very easy, though, to fall into old habits when you're trying to do those. You're trying to become, whoever he's going to be. He is actually evolving as a player. It's going to be a process with him. So I'm not necessarily worried. And I think it's part of the evolution. So not every part of the evolution is pretty. Some of it goes awry, whatever. It's fine. I don't like what he's doing. I don't like his shot selection right now. But I think eventually that's going to change. So we'll just kind of see how that evolves. In the meantime, I want to let you know, if you're a business owner, if your company is looking for new ways to reach customers, your company could be mentioned right now. This is a time where I'm supposed to be reading an ad, but I don't have an ad to read. If you have a company, and if you're in the Boston area, very simple to reach Boston listeners, or if you are somebody who wants to find a demographic that's 98% male, that has more education and more earning than traditional media audiences, then you need to be advertising with the Locked On Celtics podcast. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their podcasts. So have your company sponsor this podcast, the Locked On Celtics podcast. Email us, lockedonceltics@gmail.com, lockedonceltics@gmail.com. Podcasts are the way to go to advertise. lockedonceltics@gmail.com. Okay, let's finish this up, Jay, with just some final thoughts here from the Pacers game. Is there any concern with how – because we touched on the defense at the beginning of the show. Any concern about the sloppiness there? Did you think that they were overlooking the Pacers at all?
No, I just thought they were on the road. They didn't have a great offensive game. Their defense needed to be great, and it wasn't quite good enough.
I like that shot of the last play. And shout out to Brian Robb on Boston Sports Journal. B-Rob had the breakdown, and he showed the still, and he showed the play in slow motion. The last play, Oladipo drilling that three. Kyrie just kind of jogged alongside of Oladipo instead of getting in front of him. And there's Brad on the sideline imploring him to come on over, get in front of him, because he knew that Oladipo was going to take that shot. Now, I want to give Kyrie a lot of credit right now, because Kyrie, I think, defensively has been a lot better this season. He's been very, very active. I think he's been – I got to check the numbers again, but going into last night's game, I know he was – the leader in deflections, and so that's a hustle stat that you wouldn't expect him to be on top of, but he's been, I think, pretty active defensively, and if not good, he's at least not killed the Celtics. And I think last night was the first time where this season where you looked at him defensively and you said, ah, all right, he had a few lapses there that really cost him.
Yeah, I mean, he's been fine. Their defense is top rated. There's not much to be concerned with at this point, I don't think. Like, they've been really good, whether Kyrie's on the court or off it. They crazy stat, like, almost 9 out of their top 10 guys have a defensive rating under 100, which is just bonkers, because that's basically like top in the league type status. And every single play, like, up and down, they just have really good defenders everywhere. I think they would definitely like their defense on Oladipo back that last play. It's tough to lose a game when you're up 4 in the final minute and you're starting a tough road trip too. Like, let's not forget about that. Now they got to go to Denver and later on Utah and Portland. Like, this is a tough road trip. It's tough to lose a game that you basically had in your back pocket after Kyrie hits 2 big threes. But it was just a tough luck loss, and now they move forward and try to beat Denver. I can't wait to watch Nikola Jokic just sling assists.
That Denver
he's one of my favorite guys to watch in the league.
He's really good. He's really good, especially because he doesn't look like he should be good. But
that's what I love about him. He's like just this, just this chunky dude slinging dimes, man.
We love chunky dudes doing great things.
Yeah, I'm all about chunky dime slingers.
All right, we got to put that in your Twitter bio. Jay King, I'm all about chunky dime slingers.
Yep, no doubt.
That's fantastic. How do you feel about this Denver game? Since we're here, we'll kind of make this like a pseudo mini preview of the game.
It should be a good one. It should be a fun one. I am very much interested to see how Jokic stands up against the Celtics, who will test him in ways that not a lot of teams can, with 5 out and Horford at the arc and driving closeouts and all that. So he'll get tested defensively. Denver's offense is awesome. I'm a huge fan of the way they play. So I'm excited for this one.
I feel like Jokic can be rattled. I think he's shown like a propensity for getting
Jokic is unrattleable. No, I disagree.
I think I've seen him like when he get into foul trouble. Like last season, I felt like he got into foul trouble and he would just let it linger a little bit. I think he can get rattled.
Jokic is unrattleable. I disagree.
That's an
unflappable human.
You're just saying that because he's a chunky dime slinger.
Yes, it's true. He can do no wrong in my eyes.
All right, we'll wrap it up there. The Celtics play. This is the Monday podcast. The Celtics play the Denver Nuggets tonight. I think it's a 9 o'clock Eastern start. So a little bit later, we'll be up. Sam, Jim Packard, and I will do the post game podcast while Jay King is out there covering, doing his thing for The Athletic. Go subscribe to Jay on The Athletic. And while we're subscribing to things, if you've got a couple extra bucks, subscribe to my Patreon, patreon.com/John Corrales, because I'm doing all sorts of breakdowns and stuff. Follow us on Twitter @ByJKing, @Reds_Army_John. And if you are a new subscriber, thanks. You should go out and give us a 5-star rating and give us a good review. And of course, share the podcast. Tell everyone, spread the word. Say you should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.